This program is brought to you by LegendaryStrength.com. The content found here is for informational purposes only and is not intended as medical advice. It is recommended you talk to your qualified health professional before making any changes to your exercise plan, diet, or prescription medication use. Legendary Strength is not responsible for any claims made during this program. Welcome, this is Logan Christopher, and in today's podcast, we're going to be continuing where we left off with the previous podcast. And in that, I was going over my to-do list out of the recent Longevity Now conference. Before we continue on with that, I did want to go over a few additional things. First of all, I'll just mention a little bit of an ad right here. That over at supermanherbs.com, I mean, we're talking about health and longevity, taking different foods and supplements. So this is the new company I've created along with my brothers, and we just got a new product in stock, and that is Shilajit. Now, if you've never heard of Shilajit, and most people haven't, it's something you should definitely pay attention to. So once again, that's supermanherbs.com. Let me just read you a little bit about it. It's known as the number one herb in Ayurvedic medicine. That's the medicine, basically, of the Indian people over in India. It's known as the destroyer of weakness, the conqueror of mountains. Its legend is that it has magical or divine powers. It's historically been used as a cure-all, meaning that it's good for everything. Of course, it doesn't cure anything, but it may help with any sort of issue you have. It was actually kept secret by some yogis over there as one of their sort of super weapons that they had to allow them to live longer and to practice what they do, and they didn't let other people know that they had it. So one of those things they kept secret, which, you know, all through history has been used quite often. It's also been called Indian Viagra. So obviously you can see the benefits, the aphrodisiac and libido boosting qualities that it may have. Really phenomenal stuff. I've definitely been taking it for a while, a little bit off and on, but I'm going to experiment with regular and higher dosages as I go along. Definitely check it out. Worth trying for sure. So I wanted to now go over just a little bit of what I've done since recording the last podcast, actually putting into action the things I've been doing on that list. For instance, I've been going to the beach regularly. Not every single day, but going and enjoying that. So going out in the sun, getting grounded on the earth, going in the very cold water here in the Pacific Ocean. I've been doing that in the mornings to get that morning sun. On some days, I've been doing that. So still experimenting with it to find what works best. And, you know, depending on what else is going, got lots of traveling and other things going on. But doing what I can with it and definitely enjoying it and going to try to really spend time at the beach. It's funny, I live in Santa Cruz, California, live literally about 5 blocks from the ocean. And I'm definitely paying for it living here. But really, in recent years, I have not been using that. I mean, I have that right here. As a kid, oftentimes I would spend, you know, many days during the summers at least at the beach. And as I was going there with my girlfriend yesterday, I was thinking, wow, it has literally probably been, you know, a year or longer. And, you know, a year before that previous time where, you know, I just went and hung out at the beach during the day. So it's finding time to really allow yourself to enjoy yourself and not be so busy all at once. That's something I've been doing with my work too. I have a lot of fun recording these things for you, doing everything that I do online. I like to do a lot, but I need to take at least one day a week off of work completely and just take time to enjoy other people and myself doing things like that. So that's one thing I have been doing, really getting more on the raw foods, and I am going to go through with that experiment I talked about last time. I am going to go 1 month, June, completely raw and vegan, just as an experiment, see how it goes, to learn a few things about, one, how I feel with it, to expand my all the opportunities of raw food available, learn how to prepare more and enjoy that. It will be definitely a bit of a detox. I probably will lose weight, even though I'm not focused on doing that. I definitely don't need to at my weight, so I probably will lose some. Just going to be an experiment, something fun to do, and see how it goes. So that's going to be starting in just a couple days here. But even before that, I've definitely have been incorporating more raw food, like I said, trying to eat that salad daily. One comment I did get about that, a guy sent me an article. Let me see if I can find where this was. You know, it doesn't matter what foods you're eating, you can definitely go too far with all of them. And there are benefits and drawbacks to everything that you happen to take in. So this article this guy sent me was talking about the oxalates that are found in some leafy greens. For instance, spinach has a high number of these. Other leafy greens, not as much. I cannot find where this went. Let me keep looking. So anyway, I was saying that people that make green juices every single day load up on these, that some of them it can contribute to problems. Other people, you know, definitely swear by the green juicing or green smoothies that they do daily. So you really have to figure out what works for you. If you build up these oxalates in your body, it can lead to problems for some people. But once again, you can avoid the ones that have too many of these, and you can go toward ones like normal lettuce instead of using spinach. So just one thing to think about. You can do more research for yourself because I cannot find this at all. Oh, here we go. Right when I said that, I found it. And then I lost it again. If you go on my Facebook wall, my personal one, not the Legendary Strength one, Anthony Sarah said how green smoothies can devastate your health over at the Healthy Home Economist. Interesting article. I think it's a little bit going overboard. For some people, it may be a big issue. For other people, it won't be at all. So just something to look at. Another comment that came in, people were expressing they really interested in the grounding. I don't have it currently listed on my website, but you can go to this address, radianthealthtoday.com/groundingreport with a capital G and a capital R .pdf. That's, once again, radianthealthtoday.com/G for grounding, capital R, report .pdf. Just spell that all out and you should be able to find that. I will make sure it's not up there right now, but by the time you listen to this, I will put that in the article section. You scroll down to the bottom on Legendary Strength in the articles in the health section, and I'll make sure there's a link for the grounding report there as well, in case you can't type that in. So that is a report I put together a couple of years ago after going to, I think, the first longevity conference. It dives into the research, for instance, how grounding just dramatically reduces inflammation across the body, how it will help with muscle soreness, how they used it with athletes, and that this has been studied. All the great benefits for it are found in that report, so I definitely would check it out. Anything else before we actually continue on with the list here? Nope, I think we are good to go. So the next thing on my list, taking off right where we left off last time, I wrote grow bacteria. Now this sounds like an interesting one, and this was just sort of an experiment that I wanted to try out. I definitely have been growing bacteria in the form of kombucha and sauerkraut, creating fermented foods that I had available so that you can then eat these, and once again, fermented foods. Huge, huge health benefits. If you look at most long-lived people tend to have some form of fermented foods regularly in their diet because these establish a healthy gut bacteria, which provides so many healthy benefits rather than completely destroying it, wiping out with antibiotics, for instance, or eating the standard American diet, which then will also lead to, more often than not, a unhealthy gut bacteria level, having strains that don't provide, for instance, with candida, stuff like that. So by eating these fermented foods regularly, you get a lot of benefits out of them. Once again, that could be a whole podcast. I actually did create a DVD that covers how to make fermented foods, the sauerkraut, kombucha, kefir. There's all sorts of different kinds. You just got to find what works for you and then go from there. So anyway, I've been doing that for a long time, but I wrote grow bacteria. Someone was talking about, I don't even remember who at the conference, but you could actually take just for instance, some of the beneficial bacteria like Acidophilus, and you put that in a medium just to increase and grow those bacteria by themselves, like on a petri dish. Might be some other things, but then what could you do with that? So it's just a thing I was planning on experimenting with to try out, see if there's ways you can just grow the bacteria, harvest that, then basically you're making your own probiotic capsules, and it's just bacteria that grows with some food. Really easy to do, maybe just as easy as making those ferments, and then you don't have to buy probiotics, and you can get a lot of benefits from doing it this way. Just something to experiment with. The next thing on the list was, I don't remember what this was called, but I wrote down the cell phone harmonizer. One of the speakers at the event was Dr. Robert Marshall. He runs Quantum Nutrition, which has some very high quality whole food supplements with some additional things going on with them. But one of the things he was talking about was a device that you put on the back of your phone, and what it does is it, unlike other devices which supposedly block the harmful EMFs that, for instance, cell phones can provide, some cell phones definitely being worse than others, and really all electronic objects, this dirty pollution, the electronic pollution that can then affect us just because there's so much of it and we're so connected with it, it being blasted at us from all sides with Wi-Fi networks and everything. Some people more sensitive to this than others. There hasn't been a whole lot of research into it, though definitely just some people do seem to get affected by this. The grounding we've already talked about, that is going to have great effects at mitigating this electronic pollution. But even if you're grounded and you're holding a cell phone to your head, that is going to, it's going to help with the effects, but it's not going to be able to block and shield yourself from all the effects of that cell phone. Especially with children who have thinner skulls because they haven't grown as much as us, it's going to have a worse effect form. And so some people are recommending you definitely don't give cell phones to kids at all. With this electronic pollution, the good thing is the further away you can get from it, the better off you're going to be. The effects are inversely squared. So the farther away they drop off, the more distance you have from them. So just trying to limit your exposure and getting grounded, two great things you can do. But this device, supposedly what it did, and he showed using some muscle testing at the event, definitely something I want to look into. And if it works at all, it's worth the price. What it does somehow, I don't know the full details on this, but supposedly it harmonizes those normally harmful electromagnetic frequencies with your own body's energies, and it makes it so your cell phone not only doesn't hurt you, but it can actually charge you in a way. Once again, don't know the full research, but something I want to look more into. And I can't even find where this is on his website, so you're going to have to do some research yourself. Like I did, I contacted them to ask more about it, but haven't heard back from them yet. So if this thing does work, then it sounds like something well worth getting. There are other objects that supposedly block the harmful effects of the cell phones and other electromagnetic radiation. If any of these work to some degree, it's a good thing that can help support your health. Is it going to make up for the fact that you're not sleeping or you eat completely crappy food? No, but if it can just add a little bit, why not get it? So that's something I'm planning, once again, to look more into. The next thing is to get my root canal removed. Many people have heard, if they've gotten to alternative health at all, the negative effects that mercury amalgam fillings have in your body. If you have those at any point in time, it put in for your teeth, then some of that mercury outgasses, and mercury is the most toxic element on the planet, basically. So just some of it getting out can lead to lots of problems. A lot of people have heard this. Some people have then taken action. You find a dentist that knows how to properly remove those, and you get them replaced with fake teeth or something, some other option than that. What not as many people have heard, and I definitely didn't until recently, was that root canals by themselves also have lots of negative, detrimental effects on your health. The reason for this is that with the root canal, and I had one many years ago, just one, they go and they basically take out the nerve in the tooth and they sterilize the inside of the tooth. However, there's all sorts of capillaries. I don't know if it's capillaries or different tubules going through the teeth. I'm not a real expert on teeth, but you have like the pulp chamber where the nerve is, but there's all different little tubes where the nerve is going into, and there's blood flow and other nutrients getting into the teeth from the areas of the body. But not all these areas are sterilized, and harmful bacteria can get in there, and your body is completely unable to then get into that and clear it out. So your immune system from the bacteria that's in there that can then go out into the rest of your body, it will chronically and continually affect your immune system, because your immune system is going to have to constantly be battling this, but it has no way to actually get in there and completely clean it up. That's the basic, as far as I understand it, of why you would want to get a root canal removed. The foremost expert on this is Hal Huggins. That's Hal, H-A-L, and Huggins, H-U-G-G-I-N-S. He has a website about it, and if you Google him, you'll find some more about him. Just recently, sort of synonymously with this, over at renegadehealth.com, which is Kevin Gianni's site, guy I've met, interviewed, a really smart guy. I really enjoy reading his site. Has lots of great articles. You're going to have to scroll back a little, but he recently interviewed Hal Huggins and has some free interviews on there so you can get more information on this subject. So this is something I want to investigate for myself, actually getting this root canal removed. Something to think about if you have root canals, and definitely I would look into that issue if you have mercury amalgam fillings as well. It's definitely not one of the cheapest options on here, but it could be one of the biggest things for your health. So I would certainly look into that, and that's what I'll be doing for myself. The next object on my list is to have a bigger lunch and a smaller dinner. For quite some time now, dinner has been my largest meal of the day. I generally actually eat pretty light throughout the day. You know, I eat breakfast, eat lunch, you know, sometimes some snacks, or depending on when I work out, have a shake before or after that to some degree. It's really not, I don't have set meals. I eat when I'm hungry, more or less. But I've always pretty much enjoyed dinner as the biggest meal. Part of this stems from back when I was experimenting with the Warrior Diet by Ori Hofmeckler. Very interesting thing. Worth trying if you want to expand your things, kind of like I'm doing now with the 30-day raw food diet. Just doing an experiment to expand and see if it works for me. And even if I don't plan to eat raw vegan for the rest of my life, which I don't, by incorporating some of these things that I'll find out while doing the experiment, can then enhance my life, allow me to have better energy, that sort of thing. So the Warrior Diet, in that, you basically have one meal in the day, and that's dinner, and you eat a whole bunch of food right then. You don't fast during the day, but you eat very little amounts of food and only certain foods that don't really raise blood sugar, that sort of thing. So you go through a cycle of undereating and then overeating. And after doing that, it greatly expanded what I would eat at dinner. And so some of that I sort of carried over the years. And just for the fact that at the end of the day, I tend to want to enjoy myself a bit more, relaxed, done with work. So would just tend to cook a bigger meal at the end of the day. Along with what I've been studying with energy medicine, learning about the Chinese system and the meridians, that one thing from there is they have what's known as the meridian flow wheel. Different meridians of the body, which have different energies that run along with different organs in the body, they have certain times where they're basically at high tide and low tide. And some of the ones governing the stomach and digestion, for instance, they're more at that high tide energy during the daytime rather than at night. So this is, once again, just something I plan on experimenting with. Some people recommend you don't want to eat a whole lot at night. And by doing so, instead of having your biggest meal at night, you might feel you sleep better, or you don't even need to sleep as much. You get more restful sleep if you're not eating a whole bunch. Most people definitely recommend that you don't eat, you know, right before going to bed, and you wait at least a couple hours. But even then, if you have a smaller meal at dinner time, may aid with your sleep and your digestion. If you have any sort of digestive issues, you may be able to eat or be able to digest the bigger meal at noontime rather than at nighttime. That's actually something I've noticed, that for myself, my digestion, I don't know what it is, but it seems to not be getting weaker so much. But as I'm investigating more in this, I noticed that I have problems more with certain combinations of food. Definitely things like I've noticed I am lactose intolerant. So having any sort of cheese or dairy foods can definitely throw me off. It starts generating a lot of mucus. I mean, I can eat them and I'm not going to die or anything like that. But I've noticed my body doesn't like certain foods and doesn't like certain combination of foods. So an interesting thing to look at is not only, you know, it's not just all about what foods can you eat, what shouldn't you eat, what combinations, but also what times can you eat them. Certain foods may work for you at certain times and not others. So that's another thing you can test and play with yourself. So this is one thing I plan on doing a little bit more to experiment with, is having a bigger lunch, having my bigger meal right then, and a smaller dinner. The next one goes back to a little bit more of the tooth care, and that was to experiment with brushing with a few different things. I've definitely got away from the common toothpaste and, you know, mouthwash that people use, which if think about it, most of these things, they have labels on the bottles, on the tube, saying harmful if swallowed, that you don't want to actually be ingesting this thing. Yet in your mouth, things are getting into your bloodstream straight from there. So do you really want to be putting something into your mouth that really shouldn't be going into your body? Common sense would say no, that's not a good thing, not a good idea to be doing. So really moving toward the more natural toothpastes. But even those, some of those may have some things which you definitely don't want to necessarily get into your body. May not be as harsh of chemicals as some of the common toothpastes out there, but still not the best options in the world. So a couple recommendations were to brush with essential oils, to brush, this specifically a combination of using baking soda, which is actually in a lot of toothpaste that can be good for helping whiten the teeth, but just actually taking the straight baking soda and brushing with that. Also adding to that baking soda, apple cider vinegar. If as an experiment as a child, you may have done this in school at the time, you made the volcano where you put baking soda and vinegar and it ends up overflowing, bubbling up, just a chemical reaction going between these two substances. You have something that's very base and something that's very acidic. I believe that's the case with the baking soda and vinegar. So actually putting these two in your mouth, not huge quantities, but you do a little bit, it gets that sparkling fizzing thing, and just something to try out. Interesting feel with for brushing teeth. So I recommend you give that a shot. Another one is pearl powder. Pearl is a famous Chinese herb, one of the tonic herbs, renowned as a beauty tonic, especially among the women. Also great Shen tonic. But brushing with this, if you think about, pearls have that same sort of look that you want for your teeth. So actually using it, it's a bit of a grainy powder because it's usually powdered down. I haven't tried this one yet, but it was another option on there worth trying. So a couple different options you have for brushing your teeth. And along with that, of course, you want to floss. Many of the people, I've heard this a couple different times from a couple different people, that actually flossing is more important for your tooth health than actually brushing the teeth. There are a good amount of people, and I've definitely been guilty of it in the past, who only brush and aren't always flossing. So definitely get on board doing that if you haven't already. Next option or item on the list was to experiment with a daily seaweed soup. Now, seaweed, a lot of people on the standard American diet, even if they move toward healthier diet, a lot of people don't really eat much seaweed. Yet seaweed has some very unique health benefits. And that's part of the reason, or it's people, a lot of people who study, for instance, the long-lived people in Okinawa, Japan, they attributed some of that longer living life for the daily amounts of seaweed that is found in food. Seaweed is highly mineralized. There's definitely some other health benefits to it. So this specific seaweed soup isn't just throwing some seaweed into a soup, but a specific recipe. Definitely you can do variations of this, but one of the things at the Longevity Conference, which is very fun and exciting, is they have a tonic bar where they blend up using the Vitamix all these different drinks and prepare different foods with them that have tons of tonic herbs and superfoods, and they actually taste really good as well. You got some master chefs preparing these things. So one of these is the seaweed soup, and I figured I would just give you this recipe right here. Part of the reason you want to do it in a Vitamix, if at all possible, is seaweed, even if you soak it for a while, it tends to be hard to chew, even depending on which kind of seaweed you use. Some are tough and rubbery. But by blending in the Vitamix, it's going to break it down so that your body's able to absorb it more. So here is the recipe. 1 cup cut up strips of kelp, of which you want to soak these in hot water for a few minutes, then strain the water out. 2 to 3 tablespoons of coconut oil, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 1 tablespoon of hacho miso, 1 teaspoon of kuzu root, 1 teaspoon of umeboshi plum puree. Now, most of these are common food items in the macrobiotic diet. I don't know a whole bunch about them. I just bought this stuff and have prepared it like this. 1/2 to 1 tablespoon of curry powder. 1/2 to 1 tablespoon of Mexican blend powder. So you're throwing some different spices that which give good flavor as well as having some health benefits in themselves. 1 dropper of a ginger extract. Now, I actually haven't ever gotten this ginger extract myself, but just tend to throw a little bit of ginger powder, fresh ginger in there. And then 1 cup of twig tea with a gynostemma base. Now, gynostemma is a specific tea. It's usually used as a tea. It's one of the top tonic herbs as well. You can find it in certain places. If you go to dragonherbs.com, their gynostemma tea, the spring longevity tea, some of the best tasting tea in the world, and also probably some of the most powerful in its health benefits. So you blend up all this different stuff, and it tastes pretty good, if I do may say so myself. So one of the things I wanted to take this daily, just for building up the mineralization in the bodies, mineralization being another key component of both your teeth health, all your bone health, really everything in your body. You need lots of minerals. So this is a way to get that all in the body. This will be something I'll be probably taking quite often as I'm doing my 30-day raw program. Next item on the list, just got 2 more for you here, was to program dreams. One of the women talking there, Dr. Judith Orloff, was talking about using your intuition along with the healing. One of the ideas on there was to use your dreams to guide your intuition. If you've never delved into this area before, this might sound a little woo-woo, but it's something I've actually been doing for quite some time, is remembering my dreams, then recording them, analyzing them, seeing what I can get out of it. For instance, just this morning I had a couple different dreams. One of which was pointing out some different areas of money that I should focus on without going into too much detail. Another one gave me an idea on a specific thing in business I could focus on. Another one actually gave me an idea to look deeper into the benefits of pineapple, specifically how I can use that, which may be very good for my body. So it's just ideas you can get from them. One of the ideas along with this, because I've been doing that for a while, but to actually set up a specific intention before going to bed to dream about a specific area or topic. This way you program it in there, and then your subconscious mind and possibly some other things can then deliver some ideas to you on that specific subject. Of course, doing all this definitely takes some practice. I could go a whole lot more detail into this, but not going to right now. Just one option for me. Realize that with this list, this is all things for me to do at the level I'm at. If you were to go to the conference, you would come away with an entirely different list for yourself. So this is, once again, just my ideas, but I'm giving them to you. So hopefully you may take some of them, get some other ideas on what you need to be doing. So the final idea comes from Dr. Daniel Amen, a very good author, has written many top books. I just recently read Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, something like that. There's quite a few similar topics he has. Anyway, one of the things he recommended was let me tell you a little bit about him. He spent many years doing brain scans, looking at the health of the actual brain and how this applies to the health of the entire body. Very fascinating stuff. Now, not everyone can go to one of his clinics and get this brain scan, but what he has available is a test you can do online that basically, by answering questions and everything, will give you an idea of how your brain health is, and then it probably gives you some recommendations on what you can do. I would definitely recommend checking out some more of his stuff, some of his books on there. He was a very good speaker too, quite a funny guy too, and it seems his information is propelling people to take action when certain people wouldn't before. For instance, he's talking about what he calls the dinosaur syndrome, which is as you get bigger, meaning more obese or overweight, your brain actually shrinks in size. He called it the dinosaur syndrome because they're very big but have small brains and they eventually went extinct. Meaning, of course, if you continue on with, you know, being obese, you're going to have health problems and end up dying. What this has done is actually propelled people, some people that never, you know, cared about being healthy, to actually take action. Because, for instance, one lady said, you know, I never really cared about my body, but I always thought I had a good brain. But what you're saying here is if you are overweight, your brain is actually smaller and it doesn't work nearly as well. So this was getting some people to take action and improve their health when nothing else would. So very interesting stuff. Anyway, I plan on taking this brain test, and you can do it. It's for free at his website, amenclinics.com. And that's amenclinics.com. You can find it on there on that front page. If you scroll down a little bit, there's take the free brain health audit. So that is the final item on this list. Once again, hope you really enjoyed this. Got a few ideas out of it on what you can do. Be happy to hear your results, your questions, your comments on that. And that's going to wrap it up for this issue of the podcast, this volume, whatever we want to call it. Also, a reminder, be sure to go to Superman Herbs and check out that Shilajit. Also, I have a few spots still available for the Ninja Bodyweight Training Workshop coming next month in Los Angeles, California, actually in the Beverly Hills area. So be sure to go check that out, advancedbodyweighttraining.com/ninja. That's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks for listening.